Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Tuesday, October 30th, dropping the show a little bit later than normal, but there's a lot to talk about in the world of the Miami Dolphins. Before I get to the trade deadline and what the Miami Dolphins did not do today, there's some other stuff to talk about here. I guess the big story of the day, let's start there, is the Miami Dolphins lost another key player on this roster with defensive tackle Vincent Taylor and his foot injury he suffered in the game last week against Houston, being placed on injured reserve. His 2018 season is over. Vincent Taylor was a pleasant surprise this year, a sixth-round pick 2 years ago, and he really was a big contributor this year. He had 2 sacks, a blocked field goal, about 27 tackles, I believe, off the top of my head, and he's really started to develop into a guy who you could see as a future starter on this defensive line. It's sad to see that his season's over. Hopefully he can rehab the foot and he'll be better and he'll be back ready to go for the 2019 season. But, you know, the Miami Dolphins are just, you know, ravaged with injuries. Ravaged with injuries right now. And this is just another one to add to the list. And if you look at the defensive line overall, heading into this year, that was one of the positions where the Miami Dolphins had a lot of depth. And it might not have been high-quality depth, but you were like, okay, the Miami Dolphins are okay on the line because, you know, at defensive tackle, they had 4 deep, and at end, they were very deep at end. And, you know, they lost William Hayes. Wake has missed a few games. Vincent Taylor's now off for the year. Charles Harris has missed a few games. Andre Branch has missed a few games. It's just been one injury after another for the Miami Dolphins. And this is just one more you can add to the list. So the Miami Dolphins, unfortunately, lose Vincent Taylor for the rest of the year. And other news, they did sign defensive tackle Ziggy Hood. Now, for those of you, Hood's been around a while. Okay, he's been around since 2009. He was a first-round pick back in 2009. And his best days are clearly behind him. So do not get excited here with the signing of Ziggy Hood. He really hasn't been a productive player probably since 2013, some 5 years ago. And there was a reason he was on the open market here in late October. He's played 5 games with Washington this year and only recorded 3 tackles. His best days are clearly behind him. But the Miami Dolphins need warm bodies right now. And they need guys who they can plug in to play out these final 8 games. And Ziggy Hood can play defensive tackle. He can play little end. And you hope, you know, he can help stop the run. Because right now, the Miami Dolphins cannot stop the run at all. And losing Vincent Taylor is going to hurt. And Ziggy Hood, it is what it is. You know, it is what it is. He's a 31-year-old guy at the tail end of his career who really hasn't done much here in a few years. So we'll see. But the Miami Dolphins did add Ziggy Hood to the roster. Let's talk about the trade deadline. And that was today, it ended at 4 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday. The Miami Dolphins did not make a move. And all depending on your perspective, you think that's either great or you think that's absolutely horrible. You can put me in the camp that I think this was absolutely horrible. Sorry to be that negative Nancy, but I will explain why. The Miami Dolphins are 4-4 right now. If the season ends today, they're on the outside of the playoffs looking in. And they are just, you know, ravaged with injuries from top to bottom. They have so many injuries right now. It's tough to see them being competitive here in a lot of these games moving forward. Their offensive line, you know, they're down Sitton and Kilgore. They're down Hayes on the defensive line. Vincent Taylor on the defensive line. Albert Wilson's out for the year. Kenny Stills still has a groin injury. They just have so many injuries. And of course, the big one, Ryan Tannehill, no one's sure when he'll come back, if he'll come back, really. So, to me, this is not a playoff team. Yes, they're 4-4, but to think they're going to get to somehow 10 wins, which is what it will take in the AFC to get to 10 wins to make the playoffs, I don't see how it's happening. You look at the Dolphins' schedule, and let's look at it right now, with 8 games left. You got the Jets at home this week. I'll be nice and say Miami, since they play well at home, and since the Jets really don't have much of an offense, I'll give them a win. Okay, that's a win. At the Packers, they have no chance in hell of beating Aaron Rodgers. The Miami Dolphins have no chance in hell of beating Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. Okay, not happening. At the Colts. The Colts right now, that offense is clicking on all cylinders. The Miami Dolphins couldn't stop a Pop Warner team here the past, 12 quarters or so, I'd say. 4 against the Bears, 4 against the Lions, and 4 against Houston. So I do not see the Miami Dolphins going on the road and slowing down the Indianapolis Colts offense. That's a loss. Now, they have 2 games against the Bills. I think they'll probably split, but I'll be generous and say that Miami wins them both. Okay, let's say they win them both. So that puts Miami at 4, 1 against the Jets, 2 against the Bills. Now you're at 7. Okay, that means to get to 10, they'd have to beat New England at home, Minnesota on the road, and Jacksonville at home. They ain't doing any one of those things. First off, New England, they're starting to get their act together, and I don't see how Miami's going to be able to stop them at all. You got the Vikings on the road. That ain't going to happen. And then Jacksonville at home, if they got something to play for, that Jacksonville defense will absolutely suffocate the Dolphins offense. If Jacksonville's not playing for nothing, that they might just... Then let's just say it's possible for Miami to win. Either way, you're looking at best an 8-8 season. You're probably looking at a 7-9 season. And realistically, you're probably looking at a 6-10 season. I'd say worst case, 6-10. Most likely, 7-9. Best case, 8-8. That's not a playoff team. So, if you're not a playoff team, most likely, and I know as a fan it's easier to say this. It's easier to say this. Then at the trade deadline, you got to become a seller. And you got to try and move off parts to improve your team for 2019. So that's what I would have done. And that's why I'm not upset that they didn't make any moves. I'm just, what's the word I'm looking for? I am disappointed they didn't make any moves. But I understand why they did it, and here's why. Because you have the Miami Dolphins in this franchise right now, which is not in a good shape. It's not in a good place. You have a VP, you have a general manager, and you have a head coach who all might be fired at the end of this year. And if you're one of those people right now going, oh my God, you don't know what you're talking about. Adam Gase ain't going nowhere. They got too much. None of this is his fault. If you're one of those people who just think nothing's anybody's fault, Ryan Tannehill, it's his offensive line, not his fault. Head coach Adam Gase, he's had a lot of injuries, not his fault. I mean, you're living in a fantasy world. The NFL is a results-oriented business, and you must win games. And head coach Adam Gase, year one, did great. Year two, did bad. Year three is looking to be worse. And the Miami Dolphins right now are in NFL purgatory. They're not a contender. They're not even close to being a contender. But they're also not one of the worst teams in the league. They're not like the Giants or Arizona. They're stuck in the middle, going nowhere fast, spinning their wheels in the mud. They're going to be 6-10, 7-9, 8-8. They won't have a high draft pick. They'll be picking, between 13 and 20 somewhere. So they won't get one of the studs in the draft. And they're going to just take a guy like a Charles Harris type who maybe he's good, probably he's not. Who knows? And the cycle continues. So you have to get out of that cycle. And the only way to get out of that cycle is to not totally blow it up. Because I don't think the Dolphins are there. I think the Dolphins core, as I've said on this podcast since, the summer, the starting 22 ain't bad. The young core of this team ain't bad. They're just missing a few things. So they don't need to totally blow it up. But when you're 4-4 at the trade deadline with all these injuries, no starting quarterback on the roster, even if your main guy's hurt, maybe he comes back, maybe he doesn't. Nobody has a freaking clue. It wouldn't have been the worst thing in the world to trade off some pieces here. and maybe get some extra picks. And I know some of you have been saying, you know, who wants picks in rounds 5 or 6? Who cares? I'd rather hold on to the player. Rounds 5 and 6, you can get contributors and very good players. Vincent Taylor, round 6. Devon Godchild, round 5. Jay Ajayi, round 4. Rashad Jones, round 5. You can get big-time players in those middle to late rounds. So you don't just brush that off. And, you know, if it were me, someone like Parker, I'm not going to harp on this much because he's here. He ain't going nowhere. He's here the rest of the year. It makes no sense to hold on to him. It makes no sense. He's since day one in Miami, aside from a handful of games, and it's really that's all it is. If you look at each game each year that he's actually played in, it's just a handful of games where he's actually played well. One happened to be last week. You know, he's done nothing. He's not going to be here in 2019. So the Miami Dolphins, you know, potentially lost out on a 4th or 5th round pick for a guy. They're going to play 8 games if he can stay healthy, which with him, who the hell knows. And then he'll walk because they're going to pull off that 5th-year option. He's not worth $9 million a year or however much he gets paid for the 5th-year option. That's going to be pulled. And he will walk and they'll get nothing for him. Why did Miami do that? Because you have a head coach who doesn't know if he has a job come the 2nd week of January. And he's got to try to win as many games now. And with no Albert Wilson and with a banged-up Kenny Stills, he needs Devontae Parker as much as he might hate it because of his loudmouth agent, you know, running his mouth, calling the head coach names. Adam Gase knows my job is on the line here, and I need a healthy wide receiver, even if it is Parker. And why they hold on to someone like Wake, I mean, he's clearly past his prime. He's not playing his best ball right now. He won't be on the team next year at his salary. Odds are he'll probably just retire. He will be 37. He's got, I think he has 1 sack on the year. He's done virtually nothing this year. He's missed games because of injury. I mean, he's old. He's an old player, okay? He's an old player whose best days are behind him. If there was a team who had given Miami a 5th or a 6th rounder, how you don't jump on that, I don't know. But they didn't do any of that. And I know, you know, there's been some in the media and some fans who have been saying, you know, just because you want to sort of sell off some players and sort of wave the white flag on the season and get that higher pick in the draft. A higher pick in the draft doesn't mean you're going to get a good player. And they're right. You know, a team like the Browns for years have been picking the top 10, top 5, top 3. And, you know, up until just probably this year, they've missed on a bunch of those guys and they have continued to stink. But here's why picking higher in round 1 does matter, though. Number 1, your odds of getting a blue chip player increases dramatically. So that's number 1. Every pick you go down in round 1, you know, you're picking a lesser player. And, you know, if you're picking a top 5, top 10, odds are you're going to get a very good player. You're picking, you know, 15, 16, 17. So you're getting someone like Charles Harris, who is a NFL nobody. Or a Devontae Parker, who's an NFL nobody. The higher you pick, your odds of getting a better player are good. That's number 1. Number 2. If you're in the market for a quarterback, and I'm going to get to this to close out the show. If you're in the market for a quarterback, you know, you want to pick higher because if you have to make a trade from, say, pick 15 up into the top 5, you know, you're parting with a 1st and 2nd. This year, a 1st. You got to part with a ton of picks. And if you're picking higher, say your team like the Jets, who last year just had to move from pick number 6 to pick number 3, they didn't have to part with as much. So, yeah, if you're in the market for a quarterback, which newsflash to Miami Dolphins are, you want to pick higher because you don't want to have to part with as much to maneuver up in round 1, okay? So that's why it's good. And number 3, which is the most important reason, which nobody ever talks about, is if the Miami Dolphins do clean house after this year, again, a very good possibility, they will be in the market for a new vice president, a new head coach, and a new general manager. Because to keep 1 or 2 of those guys, but to fire someone, it makes no sense. Either all stay or all go. You know, they're all in the same boat together here. They all made this mess. They either all stay or they all go. If you are on the market trying to get, you know, the hot GM or the hot head coach, what makes your job more attractive than, you know, the job with the Browns or a job with whoever? You know, with whoever is... higher draft picks make your job more attractive. If I am that hothead coach And I want, should I sign with this team or should I sign with that team? Both spots seem good. Both the rosters talent-wise are about the same. What am I looking for? Well, that team's picking 15th or 16th, and this team over here is picking, 5th. Well, I want the team that's picking 5th, if all things are equal. So what makes a job more attractive is more draft capital and higher draft capital. And the Miami Dolphins today had an opportunity to acquire draft capital. Maybe it's just late-round picks, but more picks. There's nothing more than a new head coach or GM would like than to start their time with a new franchise with a plethora of draft picks so they can put their stamp on the team immediately. Because anyone you bring in is going to run off guys that he has no ties to, and you're going to want to bring in as many of their own guys as possible. So, yeah, a lot of those 5th and 6th round picks, or maybe a 4th round pick in a case of Parker, you might just sort of, thumb your nose at right now, but down the road, that might have helped Miami a lot. We'll see. But right now, the Miami Dolphins are 4-4, going nowhere fast. This is not a playoff team. They're not going to get to 10 games. They're not even going to get to 9 games or 9 wins. It's just not going to happen. And I don't know. We'll see what happens at the end of the year. But the reason they didn't make any trades is because you have a head coach whose job is on the line. And if this year ends, with 6-10, it's going to be tough to justify to the owner he should stay. Because Adam Gase, he fired most of his staff last year, brought in his guys. He ran off a lot of players that he couldn't coach or he thought weren't a good fit. He ran them off. And on top of that, he continues to hitch his wagon to Ryan Tannehill, who has just regressed a lot. And aside from a few, 8 games, 9 games back in 2016, which in NFL time is ancient history, he has done virtually nothing. And now he's coming off 2 major injuries here. Maybe he plays again this year at some point. Maybe he doesn't. Who knows? But he's continued to hitch his wagon to this guy and done nothing to address the quarterback position. So I'm not sure Adam Gase is the guy you want to build. You want to sort of be the leader of the team moving forward. So we'll see. Who knows? It all depends on how many more games they win. If the Dolphins finish 8-8, I fully expect Adam Gase to be back. But if they finish 6-10, 7-9, there's a good chance he's gone. And you know what? He should be. There's a good chance he's gone. And honestly, he should be. He made this roster. He made this coaching staff. Yeah, there's a lot of injuries, but a lot of teams have injuries, and it's not an excuse. And when it comes to the quarterback spot, he has been all in on Ryan Tannehill. And if that just blows up in his face, then, he's got to suffer the consequences for it. That's life. In any job, if you fail, you suffer the consequences. Period. End of story. And that's what Adam Gase has done. But that's more for the end of the year. We'll find out probably second week of January, the fate of Adam Gase. But little surprise that the Miami Dolphins did nothing. I don't know. I don't know what was out there. There were some rumors that a lot of teams made Miami an offer for Parker, and the Dolphins said no to all of them. We'll see if that was a mistake or not. Now watch him go get hurt this week against the Jets and miss, 3 or 4 more games. And you could have been the Dolphins, who probably could have had a pick in round 4 for him. But nope, they held on to him. So we'll see. But with our luck, Parker will get hurt this week and probably miss the rest of the year. But who knows? I want to close the show talking about the quarterback spot. Because right now, the Miami Dolphins of quarterback have Tannehill, who's just starting to throw. Probably he's not going to play this week against the Jets. I'd be stunned if he played against the Jets. And, of course, Brock Osweiler, who, is Brock Osweiler. He's doing the best he can. I am not going to... It's going to take a lot to get me to knock Osweiler, just because the bar is set so low for him and the expectations are so low. He's trying his best. It's not his fault this team lost to the Lions. It's not his fault this team lost to Houston, okay? They could not stop anybody in that game. Brock Osweiler trying his best out there, and I'm not going to knock him too much. Yeah, look, he hasn't played great, but he hasn't played awful either. He's played okay, well enough. But the Miami Dolphins will be in the market for a quarterback in 2019, and I'm starting to see what I like to call the Tannehill support group. And what I mean by the Tannehill support group is that group of fans who, no matter what Ryan Tannehill does, it's not his fault. Ryan Tannehill throws an interception, not his fault. It was like the left guard let somebody come in too quick. Ryan Tannehill did this, not his fault. He's got no wide receivers to hurt. Nothing's ever his fault. He can do whatever he wants. I mean, he can just turn the ball over 3-4 times a game, take a bunch of sacks. Not his fault. It's always someone else's fault. And, you know, you got the people out there who chart every pass. They come up with their pie graphs. They come up with their charts. They come up with off-the-wall stats that in October games that start at 1 o'clock between the third and fourth quarter, Tannehill's passer rating's 102.9 when it's 75 degrees or higher, tundra, harvest, moon. I mean, they come up with these stats to make it that, see, Tannehill, he's good, not his fault. Ryan Tannehill is, as I've said, at this stage in his career, and this isn't, some people see, here's what it is. The fan base is so polarized against him that I'm going to say this, and half the fan base is going to think, why are you knocking Tannehill? I'm not knocking him. It's just reality. He's a backup NFL quarterback at this stage of his career. Can't stay healthy. He's not a guy who's ever going to lead you to the playoffs. He's a backup NFL quarterback, and that's all he is. And, you know, the Miami Dolphins will be in the market for a quarterback in 2019. I don't see how they bring Tannehill back, especially at his cap number. Even if he took a pay cut, I don't see how you bring him back, because it's just a toxic environment. Because anytime he's even there, if he's on the field and he plays, he throws one or two interceptions, everyone's going to be calling for the backup. It's a toxic environment. He's been here through numerous head coaches. All the head coaches have come and gone. He's the one guy who stayed. And there does come a point where you just move on. You just move on. And this is the point. As I've said for many weeks, I don't think he'll play another down this year, just because I could see the Dolphins, you know, I could see them losing the next two. Then they have a bye. Then at that point, you're 4-6. Why are you going to rush a guy out there who might not be 100% healthy? It makes no sense. Maybe he plays this year. I wouldn't be shocked if he didn't. Let me just say that. I wouldn't be shocked if he didn't play again this year. But the Miami Dolphins will be in the market for quarterback. And the Tannehill support group is now starting to come out with the narrative that they know he played bad those five games this year. So now the narrative is, since the 2019 draft is a quote-unquote weak quarterback class, Miami should bring Tannehill back and wait till 2020. Now, that's the stupidest narrative I've ever heard in my life. If you think the Miami Dolphins should hold on to Ryan Tannehill for an entire season, 2019, because in your eyes, no, now everyone's a little Mel Kiper and everyone's a little Mike Mayock, the 2019 quarterback class isn't any good, so which means all the quarterbacks in the class aren't any good, that, you know, all of a sudden Tannehill should just stay because, you know, he is a Supreme Court judge and should have a job for life. You know, it's beyond foolish. Here's the deal. Maybe the 2019 quarterback class isn't as strong as recent classes. I understand that. But there's always one or two. And there's always a few. And if you're the Miami Dolphins, because you have put yourself in this mess, you know, you trade whatever you have to trade to move up in round one and get one of the guys who is good. And that doesn't mean now Tannehill gets another free pass because of 29. That's the new narrative among this. I call them sicko fans of Ryan Tannehill. That's the new narrative. Because the 2019 quarterback class is weak, that means Tannehill has to stay one more year. Because all they're doing is buying themselves more time. Because they have defended this guy to the ends of the earth. And instead of just admitting, you know, he's not any good, he's starting to get a little bit worse, he's really regressing, he's probably not really an NFL starter at this point. Instead of just admitting that, they want to buy themselves one more year and hopefully, you know, all of a sudden he becomes a guy that he's just not. He becomes a great quarterback. It's not happening, folks. The Miami Dolphins at the end of this year will move on from Ryan Tannehill. He won't be back. And, you know, they're going to be in the market for quarterbacks. Now, maybe they go out there and they sign like an RG3 type of free agency and they draft a kid in round one or two. And maybe RG3 plays, you know, half of next year until they get the other quarterback they draft ready. That's fine. That's a real possibility. I admit it. But Tannehill's not going to be back. And just because of 2019, and this one does make me laugh. Just because the 2019 quarterback class is weak does not mean Tannehill must come back. That makes me laugh. And, you know, I was reading an article today from someone who said, Ryan Tannehill is still a franchise quarterback. If you think that on October 30th, 2018, after 7 years, in what we've seen this year, and with a knee injury and now a throwing shoulder injury, that Ryan Tannehill is a franchise quarterback in the NFL, you don't understand football, period. I hate to be mean, hate to be cruel. If you hold that opinion, you don't understand football. Ryan Tannehill's not a franchise quarterback in the NFL. A franchise quarterback, you know, does a lot more than what Ryan Tannehill has done. And it's been 7 years. So I wanted to end on that note because I see the narrative starting to get, it's starting to get floated out there by that group of the sicko Tannehill fans who come up with these, you know, long articles and these long posts on message boards. And they call into the radio shows. Oh my God. South Florida radio, sometimes it's tough to listen to some of these shows. Unless you have a strong host like the Big O. It's tough to listen to because you get some of these people call in and they spew nonsense. They have no idea what they're talking about. And then you read people on some websites. They have no idea what they're talking about. Ryan Tannehill's still franchise quarterback. Are you kidding me? Oh, based on what? He's done nothing. He's never played in a playoff game. I know in 2016 he would have if he didn't get hurt. But guess what? He got hurt. So he's never played in a playoff game. And this year, the 5 games he played, he wasn't any good. He gave away the Bengals game by himself, period. Don't make excuses, okay? He gave it away himself. And he's played so poorly. But they will be in the market for a quarterback at the end of this year. We'll see how that goes. But there's a lot of news today. The Vincent Taylor news is really heartbreaking because young guy who has played his fanny off and played so well this year. It's sad to see his 2018 season come to an end, but it's just another injury the Miami Dolphins have suffered. And I don't know how they're going to rebound from all these injuries. These next few games, you know, I think this week against the Jets, and we'll get into the Jets later on this week as the week moves on, they have a good chance to win because the Jets are a mess too. I mean, that's the one thing. That's the one thing about the AFC. It's as bad as Miami is, as Miami is right now, the Bills and the Jets are probably in worse shape. So I think Miami can win this week. But after this week, when you got with the Packers, the Colts, the Patriots, the Vikings, they're just not going to win many games here. And it's going to be a long second half of the year. But we'll see how that plays out. We'll be back with a new show on Wednesday. I have a guest lined up, so should have someone on to talk about the upcoming game against the Jets. If you want to reach me via email, I can be reached at DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. I can be reached on Twitter at DolphinsTalk. And also check out the website, DolphinsTalk.com. We have a ton of new content up, a ton of new shows. We have a brand new episode of the same old Miami Dolphins show. You're going to want to check that out with Aaron and Josh. So keep checking out the website, DolphinsTalk.com. Everyone have a great night, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.